Good morning, children. Are you sleeping? Good morning, children. That's a lot better. I like seeing all of your smiling faces this morning. I love teaching children. I think they're some of the most exciting. I think you guys are some of the most exciting people to teach. Because you're so filled with life, Matthew, you can just put it down here. So before we start our lesson this morning, why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Can you shut your eyes, please? Dear Holy Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you so much for that message that we heard, Lord, about that being valiant soldiers. And Lord, as we share this message with the children this morning, Father, I pray you would help them to understand it. Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement to their young hearts. Father, may they also grow up to be the future valiant soldiers, Father, for the cross of Christ. Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, they are special to us, and we bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dave, you just stay sitting there, right? All right, this morning I'm going to teach you just a short lesson on trusting and obeying. And as you can see, I have some friends up here in the front with me today, and they are going to assist me with teaching this lesson. God said in His Word, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." And what God is saying here is, God has given a command to trust the Lord with all your heart. And you're not to lean on your own understanding. Now let me ask you a question. If you are going to grow up and learn to trust the Lord with all your heart, and to obey Him, who has He placed in your life to teach you those things? Who has God placed in your life that is God's representative in your life to teach you to trust and then to obey? Your parents. Thank you. And that is why I have a father sitting up here this morning. He is God's representative in His home, and His children will learn to first trust and obey Him, right? And after they learn to trust and obey their father, when they grow up, they will learn to trust and obey their heavenly Father. But this is God's earthly representative to you here on the earth, someone that you can see. And God has given him clear instruction on how to train you to trust and obey. We also have in Ephesians chapter 6 instructions given to children. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Now, I have a question for you children. How many of you children believe that you have the best daddy in the whole world? All of you believe that, or there are some of you who don't. If you do, raise your hand. I want to see it. Good. So you believe that you have the best daddy. How many of you think you have the best mama in the whole world? Wow, that's exciting. And you know what? I want it to stay that way until you're a grown person. All right? Because if you will learn to obey your father and learn to obey your mother when you are young, they will save you from a lot of problems in the future. And when you come to the age when God begins to speak to your heart, since you have learned to trust and obey your earthly father, when you give your heart to Jesus, it won't be difficult for you to transfer that and put that same love and trust to your heavenly Father and also to obey Him. There are some times that parents ask their children to do things when the children do not understand. Sometimes it's always difficult. It's not always easy to know why your parents ask you to do what you do. But God wants you to know that your father has a lot more wisdom than what you have. Solomon told his son, when I speak to you, I want you to hold fast to my words. Don't let them go. Don't forsake the law of your mother. Because he said it's going to bring life to your life. If you hold fast to what your father and mother teach you, God says it's going to bring life to you. If you trust and obey, it will bring a blessing. So how many of you trust me? I'm your teacher this morning. How many of you trust me? Not all of you? All right? I'm glad at least my children do. I have a question for you. Since you say you trust me, how many of you believe that if I told you that I have something in my pocket that you've never seen before and I've never seen before, how many of you would believe me? You believe me that I have something in my pocket that I've never seen before and you've never seen it before? Do you believe that? You don't believe it. Oh, come on. Why not? You just put up your hand and you said that you trust me. And you know what? That thing that I have in my pocket, when I show it to you, I will see it for the first time, and so will you. And after I show it to you, none of us will see it again. Do you believe that? So you can believe that you won't see it again, but do you believe that I have something in my pocket I've never seen? You believe that? Good. I'm going to show it to you. Wouldn't you like to know what I have in my pocket that I've never seen before? See if I can find it. You see what this thing is? What is it? No, it's not a rock. A nut. What kind of nut? A pistachio. Have you ever heard of them before? It's a special kind of nut. And you know what? There's something inside the shell. The nut is inside the shell. And I haven't saw the nut that was inside the shell before. Okay? So I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to see this pistachio nut inside for the first time. You see it? It's the first time I've seen it, this very nut, and it's the first time you've seen it, right? And by the time I'm done with it, you'll never see it again. Right? Now, Brother Jeff is a friend of mine, and I believe he's also a very honest man. Brother Jeff, do you have a daughter that's sitting here with the children? Could you call her up here, please? Let me talk to her for just a moment. Do you believe that your daddy is the best daddy in the whole world? Do you? Does he always tell you the truth? Can you trust him? All right. What he's going to do is he's going to speak some instructions to you, and I want you to just follow what he tells you to do, okay? All right. Her daddy has given her instruction. She believes that he always speaks the truth, and she trusts him. And he gave her instruction and said she should go back through the back doors. And if she looks out there, I mean, I can't even see anybody out there. But he told her that if she goes through the back doors, that someone is going to meet her there and give her a blessing. So let's watch and see what happens and see whether her confidence is going to be broken or not. Did she go out through the back door? Let's watch and see. The instruction might not have made sense because she couldn't see anybody when she went back, but she's going to come forward now and we'll see. Some of her friends told her, look, your dad doesn't know what he's talking about. He just wants to make the children laugh at her. And let's see if, since she trusted and obeyed, let's see if she got a blessing. Wow. Now, Lily, that is for you. You are the one who trusted and obeyed, and you got the blessing, so you should sit down. Now, if she had listened to her friends, and they told her, your father, well, he told you he doesn't know what he's talking about, there's nobody back there, what if she got the blessing? Huh? No, she wouldn't have. It was because she trusted her father. Even though she didn't see someone back through those double doors, she trusted her father and knew that when he spoke, it was the truth. And she went back through the double doors and she found her blessing, and here she is with a smile on her face. Isn't that exciting? And that's what God wants you to do with your father. They will tell you things sometimes that you don't understand, but I want you to remember this lesson. That you need to trust when your father speaks to you and obey, even when you do not understand. And there are times coming in the future when you give your life to Jesus, God will give you instructions too that you do not understand with your mind. But because God told you to do it, I want you to do it. And God says when you learn to trust and obey, then that blessing will come upon your life. You understand? So how many of you think you have the best daddy in the whole world? Do you think you can trust him? Huh? Even when you get bigger, you think you can still trust him? Good. I want you to trust him now, and I want you to keep loving him and trusting him when you're grown up too. Because he will give you direction for your life. And God also wants you to learn to trust him and to love him the same way that you love and trust your heavenly Father. And God will never fail you. He is also trustworthy. So if you children understand that, then you are free to go back to your seats. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, children. How are you all doing this morning? That's good. Do you all enjoy children's lessons? You know, I was thinking this morning, back when I was a child about your age, I remember the children's lessons very, very clearly, some of them in my mind. I used to enjoy children's lessons very, very much. And you know, even to this day, there's some children's lessons that I remember very clearly in my mind. Do you find that true? Do you enjoy children's lessons like that? You remember them for weeks and weeks after, don't you? Yeah, well this morning, I think before we start, we're going to sing a song. Do you all like singing? I like to sing too, but I'm not a very good singer, so you're going to have to help me very good, okay? Do you all know the song, God is so good? God is so good. You know that song? Okay, we're going to sing three verses to it, okay? First, we're going to sing, God is so good, and then He cares for me, and I'll do His will, okay? God is so good. God is so good. God. Good children, you did a good job. This morning we're going to talk about two masters. Do you know what a master is?
Someone that has a servant.
That's right. A master is someone who has servants under them. Say for instance, at work, Jeremiah, your dad is a master, right? He has many people working under him. That's what a master is. A master has many people underneath of them. Well, did you know that there is two main masters in the world? Can anybody tell me who they are? In the world in general, there's two main masters. Can anybody tell me who they are? Back there. God and Satan. Very good. You know, you might say, there's many, many masters in the world. That's true. But really, there's only two masters. It's God and it's Satan. Can anybody tell me a little bit about God? What kind of master is he? Back there. He's a kind master. Anything else about God? Right here. He's a good master. Very good. Oh, you don't have one? Yes. He's a loving master. Very good. He's merciful. Yes, this is how God is. Can anybody tell me how Satan is? What kind of master Satan is? He's a wicked master. What else? Over here. You don't have one? Okay. Anyone else? Here. He's a bad master. He's mean. That's right. He lies. Very, very good. He's a deceitful master. You know, he might make things look really, really nice. But in the end, they're not very nice. Say, for instance, we see the billboards. Many of the billboards. And maybe you'll see a billboard with maybe Budweiser on it. That's a kind of beer. And it shows everybody all happy and jolly. But you know what? That's a lie. Because what it really does to people, it ruins homes. It does many bad things to people, that beer does. And Satan makes it look real nice and flashy on the sign. But that's not the way it is. But we want to talk about these two masters a little bit this morning. God is the ruler master. Did you know that God created Satan? Did you know that? We're going to talk a little bit about how Satan became a master, or how that he, where he came from and what he's about. We're going to discuss that with you just a little bit this morning so you understand clearly. Because did you know that God, He creates everything perfect? Everything that God creates is perfect. Everything that God creates is holy and pure. So, how comes God created Satan? Did that ever confuse you? We're going to look at that very clearly this morning, okay? And see where Satan comes from and why he's fighting. You see, these two masters, they're fighting against each other. It says in Matthew 6:24, it says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will despise the one and cleave to the other." So, we see here clearly, us as children, we're not going to be able to serve God and Satan both. But these two masters are fighting against each other. Satan is trying to get people to follow him. He's saying, "Come, you come with me, you follow me." And God, He's speaking to your heart and saying, "I want you know what's right. You should follow me." But Satan, he's making things look real nice and pretty. He's making things a lie so that you follow him. He's trying to deceive you. But let's look a little bit where Satan comes from, okay? It says in Ezekiel, God gives us a small picture of where Satan comes from and what happened. See, God created, his name was Lucifer. He created all the angels. And Lucifer was one of the angels back in the beginning. And Lucifer was a very pretty angel. He was very beautiful. And God made him and gave him a lot of wisdom and a lot of authority in heaven. But one day, something happened in Lucifer's heart. Something happened inside his heart. And he said, "You know, I have a lot of power." He said, let me see. He started getting lifted up in his heart because of his position. It's just like your dad, Jeremiah. He has different employees under him. And some of them, they're over other men. You know what I mean? It's the same way with God. He had a bunch of angels underneath of him. And this angel, Lucifer, had a lot of authority, had a lot of people underneath of him. But something started happening in his heart. He said, "For thou hast said in the heart, I will ascend up into heaven. I will exalt my throne to be like God." He said, "I have a lot of authority. But you know, I'm not happy here. I want to be like God. I don't quite like it where I'm at. I want to be as big as God." But God had created him. But he was saying in his heart, "I want to become like God." And this is what happened. He said, it says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." One day Satan's like, "Okay, I'm tired of just being under God. I'm going to be God." But you realize God is greater than all. God is bigger than everyone. And so God could not let this happen. And so God, He cast Satan out of heaven. And when He did that, one third of the angels
It'd be like we have 5 or 6 rows of children here. It'd be like if I took the first row and a half. That's what Satan took along with him of the angels out of heaven. And you know, to this day, those angels are fighting against God. Satan and those angels are fighting against God. They're trying to deceive other people to follow them. They're not satisfied by themselves, but they want other people to follow him. You know, children, it's the same way with you. Maybe you're outside playing a game, and one of your friends thinks of a dirty joke, or they think of something naughty to do, and they say, "Okay, boys, I just thought of something really neat." And he tries to get other people to join in him. Maybe it's playing a dirty trick on somebody. Maybe it's picking on the girls or something for you boys. Maybe you see a group of girls over there and say, "Let's do something nasty to them." And he tries to get other people to follow him. That's what Satan did. And Satan is still trying to do that. But children, God gave you your parents for a purpose. He gave you parents to be over you, to guide and direct you. And if you obey your parents, you are safe. You're at a place where God can lead and guide you through your parents. But if you disobey your parents, if you let that rebellion or that mistrust arise in your heart and you say, my daddy told me that I shouldn't play in the barn after dark, but he don't really know how much fun it is. It's a lot of fun just to play out in the barn after dark. I think I know better than my daddy this time. Watch out, children. You're in danger. You're listening to the lies of the devil. Satan is trying to do the same thing he did to God. He's trying to plant that seed in your heart. It's the same thing that Satan did to God. And if you allow him to plant that seed in your heart, it won't go well with you. It won't go well with you. But if you listen to your parents and you obey your parents as they teach and train you and you bow your heart to them, you know, when you get older, it'll be very much easier for you to bow your heart to God when God comes and speaks to your heart and He wants to lead and guide you into His ways. So my encouragement to you children is, there's two masters. Which master do you want to follow? You want to follow God. But you realize that following God is by making these small choices while you're young. Each one of you have little choices that you make every day. Whether you're going to obey, maybe your mother, for you girls, maybe your mother comes to you and says, "Hey, Susie, I want you to clean your room." And Susie says, "But Mom, you don't realize how much fun I'm having right now. We're right in the middle of playing Doll Baby." And Susie thinks in her heart, "I'll just continue to play a little longer. Mom won't know. She don't know how much fun I'm having." But you know what? You're allowing Satan to plant that little seed in your heart, that little seed that isn't right. And then you hear your conscience saying, "Susie, you know what you're to do. Which voice are you going to listen to? Which master are you going to obey?" You know, we all would say sitting here, yes, we want to obey God. We want to obey the Master God. But what master are you obeying in your little decisions that you make? It's very important, children. I just encourage you with that this morning. I don't have a long lesson, but I just encourage you in the little choices that you make. Choose to obey your parents. It will go well with you. It says in Ephesians, you all know this verse probably very well, but I'm just going to read it to you again to remind your hearts and minds. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth." That is a promise if you will obey the voice of God and you will obey your parents in your youth. In your young days, it will go well with you all the days of your life. And it will make it much easier when you get older and God starts speaking to your heart. It will make it much easier for you to obey your parents. Maybe we could bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer, okay? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these children, God. I thank you for each one of them, God. I thank you that that they're all here to hear your word this morning, God. I thank you that you have given them parents to lead and guide them, God. And I pray, Father, that you would bless them with obedient hearts, Father. Bless them with a willingness to love and serve you. God, we look to you this morning. We bless you for these children, God, and pray your special blessing upon them. We love and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, children, for your attention. And you can go back to your parents.
Good morning, children. How are you? Good. Would you like to... Does anybody know what this is? Yes, it's a metal detector. It's also called... The box calls it a treasure finder. What is a treasure? Does anybody know what a treasure is? In the mountain? Yes. Anybody else? Something that has value. Very good. Anybody else know what treasures are? Stuff that is precious. Very good. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, that's what I had written down. Treasures are stuff that is very precious. It's something that is worth a lot. You know, a person can be a treasure. Something. If a person is worth a lot, he is a treasure. And I would like to go treasure hunting with you today. Do you all like to go and treasure hunt? Somebody hides something and then you go find it? It's fun, isn't it? I'd like to see if we can find any treasures around here. I have Jeremiah here to help me. Do you have your treasure bag? We have a treasure bag here and we'll go out and we'll see if we can find any treasures. Just pull that out. Okay. See if there's anything along here. Oh, look, there's one right there. Oh, there's one. Wow. Oh, that's a big one there. Wow. Okay, let's look up here. Yeah, there's one. What is that worth? Oh, that one's worth... Oh, yeah, that's probably worth quite a bit. That's a precious one. Oh, there's one in there. Yeah, right there. Sometimes treasures are really hard to find. You really have to dig for them. But when you find them, it's a blessing. Maybe there's one back there. Yeah, there's one back there. Wow, what does that one look like? Wow, that one's nice too. If there's anything up here. Oh, there's one. God, there's one right up there. Yeah, look at that. There's a big one. Show that to the children. Wow. Wow, do you want to open it up? Oh, wow. Wow, do you see that? That's a big one. Wow. Okay, I think we have enough treasures for today. Thank you, Jeremiah. See what we found. Look at this. A big box of treasure and then a whole bag. Look at this. Wow. I'd like to show you with this lesson what a treasure is and how precious a treasure is. And I'd like to show you that you are treasures. Every single one of you is a treasure to God. God loves you. When He looks down to heaven from heaven, He does what we did. We looked at it and it's fun. It's fun to find it and to look at it and see how much it's worth. Did you know that when one single hair from your head falls off, that God knows it? He knows you so well. When He looks down from heaven, you're a treasure to Him. Just like we love to go out and find things, and it's exciting and fun to see what we got. That God looks down from heaven at you and says, "Wow, my precious treasures, every single one of you, just the way you are. God loves you just the way you are." And He's looking forward. The Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord. And He looks forward to being in heaven with you, or for you to be in heaven with Him. You're so precious to Him. Never forget how that you are God's treasures. You're very valuable. Somebody said something that's of high value. You are of high value to God. God has a great treasure in you. Let's sing one verse of Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Okay, that's one thing you can always remember, that you are a treasure to God. You are dismissed.
Good morning, children. It's a blessing to see you all together this morning. Aren't you thankful that Jesus loves us so much? And we can make it personal. He loves each and every one of you this morning. Why don't we lift up our voices to praise Him by singing a song of Jesus Loves the Little Children. You want to all stand and sing with your whole hearts this morning. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, He is precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Okay, you may be seated. Well, children, we have a few items here on the table for you to see. We have a scale here. This is something that we use to weigh ourselves. Measuring cup. Some smaller little measuring cups. Spoons, a tape measure, ruler, different kinds of thermometers, another thermometer here. Can anyone tell me what all these items have in common this morning? Raise your hands high. Yes. They all tell us things. That's correct. Can you be a little more specific of what they do for us? Yes. Very good. All of these items measure things. And we need to use these items for various reasons. But it all has to do with measuring. How do we think God measures our love for Him? He measures our love, but He uses different tools, doesn't He? He doesn't need to use scales and graduated cups and things, but He measures our love for Him just the same. Our obedience is a good tool to measure our love for God. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." That's John 14, verse 15. And He also says, God says in His Word, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." John 14, 21. So our love is a very, in our obedience to God, are ways that He measures how much we love Him. Another scripture is, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." This is saying that we can say with our words that we love someone, that we love our mommy and daddy. We can say with our words that we love the neighbor down the street. But it's with our actions, it's what we do, our deeds, that are going to fully show to God how much we love Him by how we love others and by how we're obedient to Him. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Ephesians 6:1. Just as we have more than one tool to measure liquids, like here we have spoons here. Here we have a measuring cup. These are two ways that we measure liquids. God uses more than one thing to see how much we love Him. I mentioned obedience. God can measure how much you love Him by how well you obey. The most important thing at your age is to obey your mom and dad. God has given you your parents. He has entrusted your parents to take care of you. You belong to God. But He, what a blessing, has given you dear parents, a mom and dad that want to train you and raise you for Him. And so at this time in your life, obedience really is simple. It's to obey your mom and dad. That's one way He measures love. Another way that He measures is how we love others. It says, "He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" 1 John 4:20. The answer is, he can't. Now you may ask, brother, what exactly is brother? Who is our brother? Do you think he's just talking about our brother or sister in our home? God is talking about that, but He's also talking about others. How we love others is how we love our brother. And God can measure, just the way we use these items to measure various things, our weight, how hot something is with the thermometers. Well, this is how God measures our love for Him, is how we love others. "And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." 1 John 4:21. I believe the Word of God has verses that are very similar, and you hear verses that basically say the same thing, because God wants us to get the point. He will stress scriptures that are very much the same, like I've read several that mean that we are to love our brother and to love others, because He wants to make sure that we get that clear in our hearts. So I just ask you, children, as you think about your life, think about, do I really love my brother and sister? And do I show them the love of God by giving them, sharing my toys with them? Or giving them the largest, if a plate of food goes around, do I let my brother or sister get the biggest cookie? It's very practical. There's very simple ways we can show how we love each other and how we love our mom and dad by obeying. So children, loving other people is a commandment from God, which brings us back to our first measuring tool, our obedience to God. Because when we're loving others, we're obeying a verse in Scripture, and so we are being obedient to God, and He is measuring our love by that. So the question is, will we obey God or not? And finally, children, it's important to remember that we can't love God and we can't love others without His power, His Spirit working in us. So God loves you so much, little children, and He loves prayer. It even says that unless you come to Him as a little child, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you're in a blessed place. Just trust God, trust your parents to guide you and direct you. Sometimes you won't always understand why they may lead you in some way, but just trust them and know that they have your best interests. They love you. They want you to serve God all your lives. It's been such a blessing to share with you today. Why don't we bow our heads in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for each and every one of these dear children. Father, we as parents, they have been given to us as a gift. You have entrusted them to our care, Father. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us discernment to raise these dear children for You. Help us as fathers and mothers set a good, godly example for our children, that they see us obey You and obey Your word, and that they see us love others. Even when some are hard to love, Lord, we are to love others the way You love us and the way You loved Your Son. So just bless these children and help them go forward with these truths. And now when they see their daddy using a tape measure or their mommy using measuring spoons in baking, they can remember that God measures their love for God by how they obey and how they love others. So guide these children and bless them. And we ask all these things in Your precious name. Amen. You may go back to your moms and dads.
Well, good morning, children.
Good morning.
Morning. Well, it certainly is good to see so many bright faces here this morning. Before we have a lesson, let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for these dear children this morning. Lord, I know You have a plan for each one, and I just pray that You would help them to hear, be hearers, and Lord, they might grow in You and to fulfill the purposes that You have for them here. And help us to teach them and to help them to be diligent and to be faithful in all that they do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, children, I usually have an object lesson, but I don't really have an object this morning. We're going to do a little bit something at the end. But in my the time that I spend with our children and when I'm around children, from time to time I hear them say, there's several words that I hear them say. From time to time, they say, when I get big, or when I grow up. All of you say that once in a while, sometimes? Have you ever said that, when I get big, or when I grow up? Is that familiar? Okay, yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, about growing up. And I'm going to try to explain a few things that to help you grow up. And, if I were to tell you a secret, if I had a secret for you where I could tell you that you're going to, that if you do that, you grow 2 inches, you'd probably really sit up and listen, wouldn't you? Okay, well, I'm not exactly going to, I don't exactly have a lesson that's going to tell you how to grow 2 inches, but you listen once. What are some of those things you want to be when you grow up? Can somebody tell me what you want to be when you grow up? Okay, Arlen?
Pilot.
You want to be a pilot? Okay. Okay, What do you want to be?
Farmer.
Farmer. All right. Terrence. Missionary. Good. Is there anything else you want to be? Do you have something, Grace? Huh? Okay. Do you remember 2 weeks ago? What was special about 2 weeks ago here at church? Anybody remember who was here 2 weeks ago who shared? Not last Sunday, but the Sunday before. Okay, does everybody remember the team that came back from Africa? Remember that? That was special, wasn't it? And how many of you would like to go to Africa someday? Lots of you. That's a blessing too, isn't it? Some to have a goal like that, you know, and to see that and to set our goal on something like that. Okay, I'm going to be talking about a Bible character that is very familiar to us. It's not a new story, but it's a character that we all like to talk about and think about. It's about a boy. He wasn't very big. You know, you can grow big and tall, and then there's also other ways to be big. You can be big and even when you're not real tall. You remember David, the shepherd boy? Everybody remembers that. We all like to talk about that. What do you think about right away when you think about David? Somebody tell me what you think about it. What did he do that was really, really extraordinary? Okay.
Killed Goliath.
Killed the giant. Yeah, that's right. We always think about that. What else did he do? He became a king. Yep. Mm-hmm. That was really a great thing that he did, became a king. Okay, we're going to try to figure out how he got to this place where he could do, the Lord used him to do things like this here. We know that when he killed the giant, it says he was a youth, probably 15 to 18 somewhere. So when he went out, I don't know, I don't have any age, but it says he was a youth when he killed the giant. Okay. But before he got out there and killed the giant, he had to do a lot of, there was something that had to happen first before he was able and prepared to go out and kill the giant. We know he was a shepherd boy. And what are some things, let's see, to be a shepherd boy, he would have had to be out there and leading the sheep and getting, you know, make sure they get enough to eat and find good pasture for them. And was a lot of work. He probably had to crawl up on the mountains, and I know with sheep they like to eat leaves, and you know, with his staff maybe he'd pull down branches and feed the sheep the leaves. And or do you think David took the sheep out there and turned them loose out there in a nice grassy spot and found a rock and snoozed on the rock, you know, and just, do you think that wouldn't really sound like David, would it? Okay. What else did David do when he was out there caring for the sheep? Okay. Yeah, he killed a bear. What did he use to kill the bear? Okay. He used a sling. All right. Do you think he just automatically knew how to use a sling, or what did he have to do to kill a bear with a sling? Okay. He had to trust God. And what else did he have to do? Okay. Practice. And he had to practice very diligently. And, I think that David, he wasn't just playing with a slingshot. He was diligent. He was practicing hard. And probably never figured he'd kill a giant with his sling, but he was diligent. He was very diligent. What else did David do when he was out there keeping the sheep? Okay. Play his harp. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played his harp. That was, and I think probably as he was playing his harp, he was talking to God. You remember David wrote all the Psalms, and I believe a lot of those Psalms came to him as he was talking with God and playing his harp, and all those, and he was diligent with his playing his harp. Later on, he was before King Saul, and the Bible said he was skillful. He was very skillful with his playing his harp. And there also, if he was a youth and he could play very skillfully, there again he had to be very diligent, and David didn't waste any time. When he was out there, he had to care for the sheep. He learned to play his harp very skillfully, and he was very good with his sling. So David was diligent. He was very faithful. Just think about it, going out there every day and caring for sheep. That could have been very... Don't you think that would have been boring? Seems like that could have gotten boring, but the sheep, they had to be fed every day. They had to have their feed and their grass. And they had to be taken care of. Okay, I have a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I think that would describe David pretty good. He was out there. He didn't just keep the sheep. He also had lots of time, so he played his harp. And he did it with all his might, and also with the sling. He did it with all his might. Okay, children, what are some of your chores that you have to do every day? Do you have some chores that you need to do every day? What is your chore? Take the diapers out? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. You have to do that. You enjoy doing that? Yeah, good. Okay, what's your chores? Feeding the dogs. Okay, is there some more? Feeding all the animals, taking care of the animals, yeah. We all have chores, and I think that's a lot of times also that is us as parents' responsibility to give you some things to do. And, we see how David did his chores. He did them with all his might. And God was able to use that and for him to do something great for God. And do you think just your chores, do you think that does something that... Do you think God could use that for you later on? I mean, if you do your chores diligently and you're faithful and all that, even if they're boring, you do it day after day, and that's a goal that you need to have, is to be diligent, because if you all want to grow up and do some work for the Lord, you need to be faithful every day. That's doing it every day without complaining. Do you think it makes a difference how we do our chores, if we do them diligently or if we just do them half-heartedly? It makes a big difference. And I'm going to ask Josh to come up here. I'm going to do a little bit of a experiment here. Here, you just stand here, look at me. All right, now let's suppose you're had a day that wasn't so good and you weren't faithful in doing your chores. Maybe your schoolwork, you got about half of them wrong. You weren't very diligent. And maybe you pestering your sisters or something and not being very wise. And then Dad comes home, your chores aren't done. And I want you to just stand here about how that you would feel with on a day like that, and I wanna measure you here a little bit, see if there's any difference. If I can measure you. Hold that down. Okay, I got about 54 inches. All right. Now, let's say on another day, you studied hard, you tried hard, you even enjoyed your schoolwork, and you enjoyed your chores that you do every day. You know, the animals, they need to be fed twice a day and every day, you've been diligent, and you helped your mother, and Dad comes home, and you. You're able to go to Dad and tell him that your work's all done. You did everything faithfully. How does that make you feel after a day like that? Okay, we got about standing about 3 inches taller. So, thank you, Josh. You can sit down. So, maybe it does make a difference how we do our chores, if we're diligent or if we're slothful. Yeah, opposite of diligent would be slothful. Okay, I have a little song here that we're going to try. Does everybody know that Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day? How many know that song? Okay, the other verse is Neglect Your Bible, Forget to Pray, and you'll shrink. Okay, why don't you just all stand up, and you can do the motions if you want to. I don't know it real well, but you sing out, and hopefully we won't stall here. Okay, first we'll sing Neglect Your Bible, Forget to Pray.
Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray.
Okay, children, you can go back to your parents now.
Okay, good morning, children. It is a good day today, isn't it? It's good to be here on this Sunday to come together and worship God, see all our friends. James, you want to help me grab this table? Let's sing a song, one that's very familiar to you, but I want to talk about it a little bit when we're done, so I want you to pay attention to the words when we sing it. Jesus loves the little children.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
How many of you, raise your hand if you believe that this morning. That's good. That's truth. We know that Jesus loves the little children of the world. Red is the Indians. Yellow is the Oriental, like Chinese and Japanese and those. Black is like the Africans, the Haitians. And white is us. The ones that are like us. And that's everyone. Jesus loves all the little children of the world and all the people of the world. I have a couple verses I want to share with you this morning. I want to speak a little bit or show you a little bit. I want to talk about the heart. I want to talk about the inside of us today. And I want you to listen carefully, please. I want to read a verse from Samuel. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on how tall he is, or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." God doesn't see the way man sees. God doesn't look the way man looks. Because man looks on the outward appearance, on the outside man looks just by what they can see on the outside. But the Lord looketh on the heart. And I'm sure you've probably heard that verse before in your life. And it means that we are looking, the way man sees us with our eyes, when we see this post right here, we just see a white outside. We don't see the inside. We can't see the inside. And when we see a person, we can only see their outside. We don't know what is in their heart or what they're feeling or what they're even thinking. Do you know what your neighbor next to you is thinking this morning? You don't know. You can't know that, but God knows that. God knows what He's thinking. And then another verse from Luke, the New Testament. It says, "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart." That means that Jesus was understanding the thought that was in their heart, the things that they were thinking. So just like I was saying, God is able to read your thoughts. God knows what is on the inside of you, whether it's good or bad. I have a few things here that I want to show you this morning. Just to make it easier for us to understand what it means that man looks on the outside, but God sees on the inside. Can somebody, one of you, tell me what this is? You know? That's right. It's a kiwi. And on the outside of this thing, you can see it's kind of brown. Does one of you want to take a bite out of this thing this morning? No, that's not. We don't do that. We don't take it, this fuzzy kiwi, and just bite into it. Because the outside, this part is what? It's not very sweet, is it? This outside peel. This thing is not very sweet on the outside. But what is it on the inside? It is sweet, and it's good. And most of us probably like these things. And that's how God looks on us. He sees that. Maybe we don't look so good, especially in the morning. Maybe in the morning we wake up and our hair's all a mess, like this thing. This has little fuzzies sticking out all over the place. But God, He sees in your heart. And He sees if you wake up in the morning thinking good thoughts about Him and loving Him. I have something else in here. How about this thing? Can somebody tell me who this is? Someone in the back. Lydia, do you know what this is? What is it? Did she say pineapple? Yeah, she's right. This is a pineapple. And how many of us know that this is sweet on the inside? These things are very good. But look at the outside of this thing. It has these little spines on it. And up on top is this stuff that sticks away like that. It is in order somehow, but it looks as if it's just kind of sticking away from the thing. And it might not look so good on the outside. And none of us would take this and try to eat the outside either. Just take it and bite. But we know, because we've had it before, that on the inside, as for these, they are very, very sweet, like the Africans would say. They would say they are very sweet on the inside. And so many times we judge people. We look at people and we say, oh, he is not dressed very nice. He must not be a nice person. Or he didn't comb his hair. He's not a very nice person. But does this thing look like these hair are combed on it? No, but we know on the inside it is good. We would love to all have some. And if I would have had the time, maybe I would have gotten a piece for all of us that are here. And then I have one other thing here. Who knows what this thing is? Let's see, right there. Yes, exactly. This is a coconut. Who can tell me what's on the inside of this thing? You know? Huh? You're right, it is good stuff, but what do they call it? What do they call it? You hear that? What do they call that? Did somebody say it? Yeah, that's right. It's coconut milk that's on the inside of these things. Has anyone ever drank that coconut that's inside there? Did you like it? Raise your hand if you liked it, if you thought it was good. Yeah, some people don't quite like it, but it is sweet, and it's very, very healthy for you. God has made this so that the milk and the juice that's inside of this thing, I don't know, it would be difficult to explain, but it is very good for your body. It has a healing effect on your body if you drink it when you are very, very thirsty. And we look on the outside of this thing and it's hard. I mean, you hear that? This thing is hard, and maybe it isn't, and it doesn't, this surely doesn't look good. No one would try to eat this on the outside. But because we've had it before, and because we've seen the inside of it, and maybe we've eaten some of the inside of it, we understand that there's sweetness inside. And we don't look at a coconut like this. We don't think about it like this outside. We don't think that, oh, a coconut is terrible because look at the outside. We say a coconut is good because of the inside. And that's what we need to do in our life with people. We don't look at them and say, because they don't look quite right on the outside, that it's bad on the inside. We need to understand that God sees their heart. God sees all of our heart. He knows all of our thoughts. And He knows if there is sweetness inside, or if there is bitterness or wrong things inside. I have one more verse to share, and then we'll pray. It says in Psalm 51, verse 19, it's not the verse I want. I want verse, where is it? There it is, verse 6. It says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." On the inside of of all these things, even, I mean, the coconut and all of them, the pineapple and the kiwi, on the inside of them, there is sweetness or truth there's good things on the inside of it. And that's what God is looking for in each one of you. He wants to find goodness and sweetness in each one of you. It says, thou desires. It's talking about God. God desires, wants, is looking for truth or sweetness. Truth is sweet on the, in the inward parts. And so that's what we want to be to God. And that's how we want to look at other people, the same as Jesus does. He wants us to look at the inside and who they are. So I want you to remember that. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll pray. God in heaven, I thank you for this day, for your wonderful blessing that we are able to come together and worship you and come before you. And Father, help us to worship you in truth, in the inside of us, with truth on the inside of us. God, I pray that in this church and in all the homes that are represented here, these children can taste and see that God is good, and they will dedicate themselves to you, Father. God, I pray that you would help them to go away with something from here this morning. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you like stories? I'm sure you all do. Well, this morning I'm going to tell a little story with an object lesson, and the story is talking about keeping a clear conscience. And I put on this white overshirt just to represent a clean conscience. And so I'll just start with a little story of a young boy about probably 7 years old or so. He was called Frankie, okay? One day, Frankie and his mom were going to town. And, of course, all children like to go to town. Now, Frankie, he was a good little boy with a clean conscience. You know, he hadn't done anything wrong lately, and he was feeling good. You know, he had a nice, clean conscience, just like this shirt. And he was just happy to be along with his mom. Well, they went to town, and they came into the store. And, of course, Frankie, he saw all kinds of things he really liked and that he would have wanted, but he couldn't have. You know what that's like, don't you? I do. like seeing many things you like. Well, after Frankie's mom was done shopping, after a while, Frankie's mom was done shopping, and they went to the checkout counter, and guess what Frankie saw there? On the side of the counter, there was lots of candy, and Frankie saw a box with many packs of gum in it. Wow, he thought, that's a lot of gum. I'm sure they wouldn't miss one pack. Frankie reached out and grabbed a pack and put it in his pocket. Now, guess what happened to his clean conscience? Can anybody tell me what happened to his conscience? I'll show you. It got all dirty. This is what happened to his conscience when he stole that gum. Oh, all dirty. Well, when Frankie and his mom got home, his mom saw that he was chewing gum. Why, Frankie, where did you get that gum? She asked. A man at the store gave it to me, he said. What was he doing there? He was lying, that's right. And what did that do to his conscience? Made it even dirtier. All dirty. Just from lying. Made it even more dirty. Now, of course, when his... Later, Frankie told his mom that he had been lying, and he said he was sorry and he made things right. And he got a clean conscience again. I'll show you what happens in a little bit, but first I want to add some things that also dirty our conscience. You know, just lying and stealing aren't the only things that make us dirty. It's also disobedience. Let's say your parents tell you, okay, it's bedtime, go pick up the toys. And you really were enjoying your game, you just don't want to put it away. And you play a little bit longer, and after a while, your parents have to say it a second time, and finally you slowly put your toys away. That's also, it's just dirtying you all up. It's making a dirty conscience. Or the same way with doing your chores. Not doing your chores when you're supposed to. Also, when you're being unkind. Let's say if you take a toy away from your little brother or sister, and you say I want it, and you take it away from them, and you start playing with it. That's being unkind, and that's also just making it dirtier. Just dirtying your conscience like mud. Or maybe somebody does that. Takes a toy away from you, and you say, "You're not my friend anymore." Those are unkind words, and once again, you're just making your conscience all dirty. You know, that hurts them, and it's unkind. That's dirtying our conscience. Now, who would want to come to church in a shirt like this? Anybody want to come to church like this? I don't think so. Well, we shouldn't come to church without a clear conscience either. That's just, God hates that just as much. God hates having clouded consciences, having people with a dirty conscience coming in, and many people have a dirty conscience, they just cover it up and say it's all clear. Right? But it's, underneath it's dirty. Of course, there's a way. There's a way to fix that, and that is confessing and making things right. And what happens when you make things right? You get an all clean conscience. Just like this. It's like all the old is taken away. And you have a clean conscience. Now, who would mind coming to church in a clean shirt like that? Nobody. You would all want to have clean clothes. And that's the way it is with a conscience. You want to be sure to have a clear conscience. And the thing that makes your conscience dirty is all those things that we shouldn't do. They dirty our conscience, and then we don't feel good. But all we have to do is tell our parents or whoever we hurt, and say we're sorry and make things right. And then you're all clean. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Thank you for their little lives, their souls, God, and for their conscience that many of them don't know what it is to be really dirty, God, but I know they all have things that dirty their conscience. And God, I pray, would you just help them to take this lesson to their heart and to make things right where things aren't right, and to learn how to maintain a clear conscience. Lord, would you bless them as they go about their lives, Lord. Bless the rest of our day here, Lord. And just come and be in this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, children. You may go back to your parents.
Okay. Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all this morning? Good. Okay, I have a lesson for you this morning. Something that God has been teaching me. So I hope I can make it clear to you. I like to start with a Bible verse, and then we have an illustration we'd like to show you this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm going to define a couple of these words just as we start here. The word substance has the idea of proof or ground, confidence, or support. So faith is the support of the things that we hope for. And the evidence, that word also means proof or the facts of things not seen. Now, I need someone to help me here this morning. Somebody with a lot of faith. Let's see. Would you like to help me? Okay. We're going to use some cement blocks here and illustrate faith. Okay. Now, let's see, what's your name?
Doran.
Okay, Doran, I want you to come up here and stand on this cement block. Okay? Now, I have faith that you can go from that block to that block without touching the carpet. Do you think you can do that? Well, we'll see. How many of you children think he can do that? Not too many yet, okay? Well, do you have a lot of faith this morning, Doran? Okay, good. So we're going to make this a little bit harder. We're actually going to put a blindfold on you. Now, this isn't going to hurt or anything, okay? I'll be right beside you, make sure you don't fall or anything. Okay? Now remember, faith is the substance of things not seen. Now that looks impossible. You know, he can't step that big to go across there. But I'm going to provide the means for you, Doran, to go from that cement block to that cement block. Now you can't see it, but I promise that there's a way that you can do it, okay? All right? Now don't laugh. Okay, I'll help you here a little bit. I'll just hold on to your arm. Now you ready? We're going to test your faith, okay? Take a big step in that direction. Hey, look at that. Now, let's see how you got across there? But you had to exercise your faith, didn't you? All right, thank you. Now, let's make this practical. What are some ways you children can exercise your faith? Anybody have any ideas? Let's bring it down to your level. Go ahead. Obeying your parents. Yeah. And in what ways? How about when they ask you... Go ahead. You have an idea? Yes, very good. Trusting that your parents know best. Sometimes your parents are going to ask you to do some things that look pretty hard. Okay? And that's a chance for you to exercise your faith. And say, I know that mom and dad know best. I know that mom and dad love Jesus. They're concerned about me. And you can trust in them. How about in the area of prayer, too? You know that God hears the prayers of you children? He loves to hear them. Sometimes things look impossible. You know, maybe somebody's sick or something like that. But you children can exercise your faith in prayer too. So, just remember this. Next time your parents ask you to do something that you think is impossible, and you're tempted to say, I can't do that. Remember that faith doesn't trust in the things that you can see. but it is the ground and the support and the confidence of the things that you can't see. Okay? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we pause to thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for the faith that you give us, Lord, to believe it. We do pray that you bless each one of these children, help them to remember to be full of faith in their obedience to their parents and in opportunities they have to pray for other people. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.